following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is an Ag Business Update from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers. Cattle handling facility is an important part of any cattle operation, large or small. And K-State Beef System Specialist Justin Wagner says that with current record high beef prices, it may be a feasible time to consider upgrades to your operation. Depending on the size and layout of facilities, small additions such as gates or alleyways may help contribute to make a more functional operation.
So when you look at a facility plan, it's certainly something because of the significant investment that we're making in those facilities that we want to make sure that it's going to meet our needs not only today but well into the future. Some operations that have been predominantly cow-calf operations, they might be looking at maybe starting a stocker enterprise, and that's something to certainly consider as well. Not only what are we doing today with these facilities, but what might we need to do in the future?
Wagner says producers should take into consideration what may be needed in terms of different types of cattle operations. Now, when making those changes, modifying facilities should take place in stages.
The biggest difference there that to keep in mind is a facility that's going to be designed to run mature cows through versus something that might be processing on a routine basis five-weight steers. You know, we've obviously got some differences in terms of the size, the groups of the animals. And that's not to say that we can't design a facility that's going to meet the needs of both of those. In a lot of circumstances, we can. It's just a lot of times what we see with facilities is producers want to work on them in stages, where they may put in the central processing facility or working facilities and then try to expand on those and grow with those over time. You know, having a plan to start from, I think, is always good so that we're not looking at maybe building the entire facility today, but we may build it in phases.
Want to find out more? Go to ksubeef.org. With this Ag Business Update, I'm Ken Rogers.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah?
It's my farm, but you get your hands dirty as much as I do.
Well, a channel seedsman can't sit behind a desk all day.
Good thing I got a guy.
Conversations like this are happening in channel cornfields across America.
So what you got?
I'm just comparing these roots to the pictures we took last year.
At Channel, we don't have salesmen. We have channel seedsmen, a trusted advisor who works with you to provide the right recommendation for your fields. Like Channel Genuity SmartStax Rib Complete Corn Blend Products, a single bag solution that gives you automatic refuge compliance in the corn growing area, as well as two ways to control corn rootworm and earworm for maximum above and below ground protection.
See? A little dirt never hurt anybody.
Well, good thing you're my guy.
Always read and follow IRM grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Genuity Rib Complete products require planting a separate structured refuge in the cotton growing area.
Ask your seedsman about Channel Corn Brand 20953 STX RIB blend. Order early to have enough for planting. Individual results may vary.
Begin to realize the lifetime value of one or two new customers and what they can potentially mean to your business, it pays to look for cost-effective ways to be able to have a personal touch with new prospects. We've put together a great way for you to be able to be one-on-one with future customers that may not be aware of who you are and what you can offer them. It's relational selling under one roof. There's still time for you to reserve your space at the Garden City Farm and Ranch Show, January 22nd through the 24th at the Finney County Fairgrounds. If you're a business that relies on farmers and ranchers, or you're looking to expand your customer base, contact the Mid-America Ag Network at 316-721-8484. That's 316-721-8484. Or visit us online at GardenCityFarmShow.com. Let us show you how your involvement with our Farm and Ranch Show can help you attract new customers and bigger market shares. Space is limited, so contact the Mid-America Ag Network today. Call 316-721-8484 or online at GardenCityFarmShow.com.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you here on today's program. Jared Crick going to join us in just a moment, and you can hash it all out at the Kearney Chicken Coop for Monday Night Football, Husker Basketball, men at Florida State tonight at 6 o'clock, and you can do it all while enjoying the Coop Koozie. Just $5 for the koozie. Enjoy your favorite 12-ounce containers the rest of the night for just $1. The Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill is the best of both worlds because they are a sports bar and and grill. No one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. And Monday, their lunch special has always been the steak sandwich, your choice of side for $7.49. You can't get a better deal than that. And this isn't something that they just picked up that was laying in the middle of the road and call it a steak. This is good stuff, folks, at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney. Don't forget, from 2 to 5:30 is their special on appetizers, long necks and draws for 2.5. You can get those as well. The Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, open 7 days a week. Wishing you the happiest of holidays now that we're here in December. Stop by for lunch or Monday night activities today. Got a chance to catch up with Jack Gangwish after the football game in Iowa City on Friday. And I'll be blunt, this is exactly the moment that I knew Bo was in trouble. During the game, and it's not as much of a deal right now, but I want to watch it again and again, because I just kept viewing the sideline with not a lot of emotion. You're going to hear Jack say that the team never hung their head and gave up, but usually when DeMornay Personnel is returning a punt or you're hitting a big play or you're coming back, there's a lot of jumping up and down. I don't know if it was that cold, but there didn't seem to be a whole lot of jumping up and down. Now, they celebrated when they won, and they did it well, and I posted a little bit of that on our Facebook page. You can see a little bit of video of that. But at least I think it's on the Facebook page. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's on my page, but it's up there. I just got the feeling that there was something that was going to happen over the weekend, and here's our conversation after the game Friday, before the firing, with Jack Gangwish.
Talking with Jack Gangwish after the win against Iowa, and Jack, you got the ice on the elbow. Was that from all the flexing from the tackling you made today?
Yeah, the flexing, it really takes a toll on the joints. You know, it inflames the tendonitis once in a while.
Talk about your game today. I would have to categorize it as your best day as a collegiate, imagine.
Yeah, I got the opportunity to start, and on top of that, I got an opportunity to play against one of the best O-linemen in college football. You know, I was excited for the opportunity, and I'm glad that I executed well.
How'd that go for you today? What'd you learn from Scherf on the other side?
You know, I haven't played against very many guys that are that big, fast, and strong, all in one guy. He's a good, intense football player.
When you face somebody like that, I'm sure there's always questions. When did you feel comfortable during this game, if you did at any time?
Well, yeah, there's questions, but at the same time, you know, one of the main reasons I came to Nebraska is because I want to know what I was made of. I want to know, you know, how good I could be and what type of guys I could play with. And when I realized I was going to have the opportunity to play against, you know, an NFL caliber lineman, you know, it's the perfect opportunity. So I was ready to go. I was fired up and I was hyped. And, you know, I'd say after a drive or two, I kind of settled in and realized, I'm like, you know, I can do this. This isn't, you know, I can play with this guy. I'm of his level. I can do this.
We're talking with Jack Gangwish. Tell me where you think you've come since getting that first opportunity to start earlier this year.
You know, I was pretty green earlier this year. That was actually my second appearance in a game at all when I started that game. And, you know, I was nervous. You know, I was worried. I didn't – my knowledge of the defense, it was there, but I wasn't comfortable with it yet. And now I'm I know it a lot better, and I feel more comfortable with it. It allows me to play a lot faster.
Can you take us through the emotions of the day, being down 24-7, what it's like in the halftime locker room? It's 10-7 at that time, and then what it was like here after the overtime victory.
You know, I just got to say about this team and, you know, the unit that I'm in, D-line, and our coaches, everybody. I'm so proud of these guys, because even at one point we're down – you know, three scores or whatever it was, and not even for a minute did anybody, I didn't see anybody hanging their head or getting pissed or getting frustrated. Everybody was ready to go to work. Everybody was ready to do business. And, I mean, to be a part of a group like that is really special, because those guys, they'd fight to the very end every game.
There's going to be a lot of questions. Obviously, what was said the last week, everybody wants to know the coaching status. I know you're not going to dive into that with us, but what was this last regular season locker room like here in the postgame?
I can't really say a whole lot, but, you know, one thing that, you know, you see in college football is that, you know, one week everybody loves you and one week everybody hates you. And I'll tell you guys what, playing for Coach Bo is the biggest privilege of my life. I love playing for that guy, and I'd lay it on the line for him any day.
There's still a bowl game to work with here. What happens between now and finding out where you go to play again?
It's all about preparation. We got to get our nose to the grindstone and get back in it. We got to be firing on all cylinders when we find out where we're going and then start prep.
Jack, congratulations on a great game, and we'll see you at the bowl game. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's Jack Gangwish, junior defensive end, getting some starts this year for the Huskers out of Wood River. He was going man-on-man, man-on-man there with a Brandon Scherf, who is a finalist for the Outland Trophy and a projected high first-round pick. There was a little snippet on Husker Extra in the Journal Star over the weekend. If you follow Jack on Twitter, you got to see the picture of him holding the Heroes Trophy. Nebraska wins a trophy game holding the Hero Trophy. Said he had the privilege to lead the Husker prayer for his teammates, and then he says, start a game for the team I love and bring home a victory feeling blessed. And that was over the weekend after the game from Jack Gangwish.
Yeah, you know what's amazing about this a little bit is we're talking about the firing of Bo Pelini. We're really not discussing how this team was down 24-7 on the road and came back and won a heck of a football game. And, you know, one of the things Coach Pelini, I know he lost his job, but, you know, I'll say this for him. One of the major things he had to fix this year was our punt return and doing a better job of catching punts. Boy, did we get a lot better at that one thing. So, you know, that's what's sad about coaching to me is, hey, you know, boy, the major thing you had to do, the number one thing, and I said that on the radio, Doug, and I think maybe you agreed with me, that the punt return, we had to get that thing fixed, and boy, did we ever fix that. What a tremendous weapon that was this year. You know, that helped, that helped us and almost won the Michigan State game for us.
Ton of emails to get to, and then Jared Crick is going to join us. Let me get to a few more of these. These are from Rod. I feel Eichhorst gave Bo a year to improve his staff and demeanor. He changed neither. He is a disgrace on the sidelines and awful with the media. Yeah, bring up how Saban reacts at times. I watched Alabama versus Auburn the other night. His team was down at halftime. He was upset, but he handled his emotions. Bo is an ass with the officials and media. Wonder how many boosters he has snubbed. You know what? I'm in the media. He only snipped when... You know, you poke the dog too many times, he's going to bite.
Well, but let's be honest about that. This is not his strength, and we knew that when we hired him. When we hired Bo,
I'd rather have a football coach that won football games and was very articulate with the media.
Yeah, and I thought he got better. I mean, he was never going to be great at this, but I do. You know, there were things this man said. The last guy that emailed that in, that I do agree with what he said, though, Doug. I'm not as mad at him as he is. I mean, he was really upset with him. But what he did say, if that's an important thing, if that's an important part, and I think it is, and at some level, you know, you got to be a decent sport, and you got to be able to walk over to the other guy and shake his hand and go, hey, that's a tough loss. And I thought Bo was a humble winner. I do it. You know, he didn't run around after we beat Northwestern on that Hail Mary. He immediately knew how that other guy felt. He really did. He was a humble winner. But I don't think he was a great loser. But most of us aren't. If we're really honest about it, none of us really like to lose.
Especially when he knew what was going to happen. It wasn't that they lost. He knew what the... And if you need a translation on that, that was... Jeff says, all these know-it-all athletic directors are so-called Nebraska, quote, fans that want Scott Frost as a new head coach need to take off their crimson and cream-colored glasses. You want a guy with zero head coaching experience to step in and be the CEO of Nebraska football? Where's the logic in that? Tell me I'm wrong, Doug. Jeff, my stance this whole time, and I touched on it when we started the show, is right now, I really don't care who they hire because I don't think it matters. Everybody was fired up for Coach Bo Pelini. I don't think whoever Sean Eichhorst brings in, you're going to have that same emotion because it's going to be, I don't care who it is, but he better damn well win the Big Ten. That's all it is. It doesn't matter if it's Tressel or if it's the Wisconsin Whitewater guy that comes in. I mean, I've heard everything in between, the Division III champ to Jim Tressel and everything in between. Doesn't matter. As far as Scott Frost and the Nebraska ties, really? Let's put it bluntly. Did anybody like the Frosts that played against him? There was not a lot of fans of his father. And I'm not talking personally because I was always treated well by the Frosts when I got to work with them or do their games. How many people actually like the Frosts? Sit there and ask yourself, to old-timers, especially the old-timers. How many people like the Frost? Scott played football for a winning program for 2 years. You booted his ass when they lost to Arizona State. Don't come back and tell me you're Scott Frost fans today. I'm not saying he'd be a good or a great coach, or he wouldn't be. Well, let's be blunt about this. His actual Nebraska ties are he was a great quarterback at Wood River and played football for the Huskers for 2 years, and in my opinion, played pretty darn well, and everybody critiqued him. I mean, they critiqued Scott Frost and the Wood River football team like they are critiquing Bo Pelini almost identically. So, okay, folks, think about that. There's my reaction to that.
You know, Jeff, real quick on that is, you know, let's be happy for Scott Frost because he came to Nebraska, he played quarterback after he went to Stanford. You know, if you get offered a scholarship and you get one at Stanford and you get one at Nebraska, I mean, people think they're the same, but it's almost having two cars and going, hey, you can have an Impala or a Maserati. I mean, when you go to Stanford, that's about a $300,000 scholarship, you know, for 4 years there compared to the University of Nebraska. So, I mean, going to Stanford, I mean, he's got to do what he thinks best for him. And he wanted to play quarterback in the NFL, and Bill Walsh was going to be his quarterback. But let's be happy for Scott Frost. Hey, kid from Wood River, Nebraska, played in the Lou Platt, is now the offensive coordinator at Oregon and having a tremendous amount of success. Good for Scott Frost.
It looks like Lance Leopold. I'd heard the Montana job. It looks like it's become official this morning that he's going to Buffalo. Our emails and tweets and texts are going crazy right now, so thanks for that. Doug, this comes from Mark. Going to keep it short for you guys. Jim Tressel for coach. I think he can get us where we want to go the fastest and dominate recruiting. Your thoughts? Thanks, Mark from Kearney. I've got all these, man, I've confirmed it, all these people that know everything, and I appreciate all these things. Nothing's confirmed till Sean Eichhorst says it's confirmed, okay? That's where I'm at in all of this. I appreciate all the folks that think that, you know, Tressel's coming in and he's bringing Frost with him, and he can't coach the first year because he's still in trouble for what happened at Ohio State. Why would Nebraska? I mean, I think Tressel probably is a very good coach. Why start off already being embattled when you fired a 9-win coach? 9 losses by 20 points or more since joining the Big Ten, says Kale. Are you guys following any of the Tressel and Lincoln rumors? Curious if what I'm hearing is correct at all. John Bishop, what did he tweet? That the planes are leaving for Albion, Lexington, and other points? That's, you know, they watch the planes. Where are they flying? Good Lord. What else do we got here? This comes from Mark. It actually takes a lot of testicular fortitude to fire Pelini by Eichhorst. He's hitched his wagon to the next coach. If his hire fails, he's gone. This isn't personal. The easy thing would be to keep the coach, win 9 games, and fall back on that stand. John from Hastings. Bo has an excellent record getting his players an education. Bo's on-field record is not bad. Both measures, I think, are important. Do Nebraska fans think we should sacrifice academics for on-field success? John, the answer is yeah, hell yeah. I'm sorry, that's what they think. He goes, remember the population of Nebraska is less than 1.9 million. Are Nebraska fans realistic? I don't think so. Thanks, John. We've got more to get to. Jared Crick, when we come back.
For lunch or dinner, it's Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food, Bandits, where you can enjoy Saks's Pizza, the area's favorite. Bandits' famous wings, Sparky, Buffalo, Sweet Teriyaki, Garlic Parmesan, and Spicy Breaded. There's Taco Chef and Chicken Salads, Meatball Subs, and an appetizer menu which includes Tim's delicious taco meat and melted cheese nachos, toasted to perfection. Weekday happy hours from 4 to 6 and all day Sunday with ice-cool 250 huge mugs and $2 domestic pints and bottles. Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food. Head to Bandits, 13th and 281. Grand Island.
Many folks like to spruce up the house before the holidays, and everyone enjoys saving money doing it. So look at what ShopWheelerDealer.com has to offer. Gift certificates to Abbey Carpets and More. Log on to ShopWheelerDealer.com where you buy local and save big. To get daily deals of the day via text, text the words Wheeler Dealer to 90210. Gift certificates to Abbey Carpets and More. Log on to ShopWheelerDealer.com where you buy local and save big.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl, Funeral and Cremation Services.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Coming, folks, here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, extended edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, the day after the firing of Bo Pelini. We're here for you to vent or to defend or give your thoughts. Kearney Chicken Coop fan line is 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Facebook is ESPN Superstation, and the Twitter address at ESPN1460-1550. How about delusional Husker fan? He goes, I know you've seen my past emails saying that I don't like changeover in the program. Bo was a good coach, but maybe good just isn't enough. He goes, I think Adam Carriker sums up my feelings pretty well with his Facebook post. If you haven't seen the post, here it is, and it's all over the place. I still think Nebraska should be a bigger player in the Big Ten and in the national level every few years. Nebraska has been irrelevant for too long, losing by huge margins once or twice every year, losing to ranked teams and losing a game to a team that we just shouldn't lose to was Bo's ultimate downfall. I'll never accept that Nebraska will be no better than Minnesota, and we should just be content to take the 9-win seasons and be fourth or fifth in the Big Ten every year. I think Bo could have gotten us there over time, but that's over now. So the AD had better hit a home run with the new coach, or he may be looking for a new job soon. Jim Tressel, head coach, with an appeal of the NCAA for release from his last year of his suspension from coaching, hiring Scott Frost as his offensive coordinator as Tressel's protege for future head coaching duties. Go Huskers, keep loving the team, not the coaches. John says Bo missed the boat on Nebraska lineman recruits, especially Drew Ott going to Iowa. And again, Drew Ott he's the guy that scores on the Sam Foltz punting it into the backside of his own lineman. And that's what you do with the shield block now. Instead of having just the one-up block, now you got three, and I've always thought that's a problem. They don't know what's going on behind him, and bang, and Ott scores, and Sam Foltz makes a great play. And besides that, he had the tackle that forced a fumble before he had the butt punt. There's a lot of cool things for kids from the area that did some great things on Friday, and unfortunately, it is overshadowed by what is going on here. Let's keep going. Crick is about ready to go with us here. Bo was a first-timer. This comes from Nate, and he says, Bo was a first-timer going for a first-time coach again in Frost, not a plan. I agree we need to win the Big Ten almost immediately. I'm not a Bo fan, but I was really shocked he was let go. Thank you, Nate and Kearney. Appreciate that. Jimmy, Scott Frost. I made some comments. Scott, I just don't.
No, you were fair. You were fair about that.
But on a different level here, I don't understand why Frost would come here and leave what he's got at Oregon, playing in the national Final Four. It would assume if they beat Arizona this weekend, they're going to be playing in the college football playoff. Why would you come back to Nebraska to be the OC when you're already the OC at a team that might win the national championship?
I don't think you'd.
I don't think he has that much love for Nebraska.
Well, I think he needs. If you're the offensive coordinator at Oregon right now and you're in the top five about every year, the last time I looked, Oregon's scoring a lot of points. I mean, you know, I would stay there. The offensive coordinator job, and that's what I think we don't. I think the Nebraska fan sometimes doesn't realize, you know, that not everybody wants that job. There's other jobs thinking, hey, you know, I have a chance. If I can pick, I'll take that job. And it's not, we got to get them to come. You know, not everybody wants to come to Nebraska or South. How would you like to be the South Dakota? Does that sound fun when it's 7 degrees outside?
I was, my gut feeling was right that something was up by talking to the players over the weekend. My gut feeling also says that the next coach is basically hired at Nebraska. whoever it is, because with Florida open, Michigan probably open, they're going to be competing against, as they were talking about on Mike and Mike this morning, some maybe better places, especially Florida being warmer. Jared Crick coming off another win yesterday for the Houston Texans as they just crush people. I'm telling you what, Crick, I told you before, Trip Watt, run in there and you catch a touchdown, man.
Oh, I know it. That's all it's going to take. And, you know, he's playing good ball, but, you know, we're all going to get our chance here sometime.
Well, congrats on the win yesterday. I had my doubts when you bench a quarterback and then he has to come back in. But, boy, Fitz really – he really stood up yesterday for you guys' career day.
Oh, yeah, without question. And, he, you know, he's the kind of guy – he's been in the league 10-plus years. He knows how to get back in a rhythm. He knows the ins and outs of the offense. And, you know, he was going to come in and produce. But to have, you know, 6 passing touchdowns and have the day that he did, it really wasn't surprising. So, like I said, you're not a quarterback in the NFL for – like I said, a decade, you know, without showing some, you know, integrity and grit. But, you know, he had a great day and definitely led us to a victory, which we're super excited about.
Houston now 6-6. They're 2 games back of Indianapolis in the AFC South. We always have to ask you how you think you're playing. How do you think you're playing the last couple of weeks?
I've been playing good ball, in my opinion. You know, last week against Cincinnati, I got my career-high 9 tackles. And I thought I played a pretty good game last week. I thought I played a pretty good – or yesterday I thought I played a pretty good game. And, you know, I think I'm doing pretty well so far. I'm getting better every week. And, you know, as long as I can keep that going for me, I think I'm going to end out with a really good year. But just do whatever I can to help the team get some wins. And because we're still in the hunt. It may not seem like it to a lot of people, but to us, you know, we're right there in it. We just got to keep winning ball games. We'll be good shape come the end of the regular season.
Almost controlling their own destiny, I think. And we mentioned this, of course, I have to throw out that we had Crick on a couple of weeks ago, and then he follows that up with a career-high performance. So I can only imagine how much ass-kicking is going to go on in Jacksonville on Sunday afternoon when they take on the Jags. Then they go to Indy, which will be a huge game to catch up if they can, and Baltimore and Jacksonville at home to end the season. And Crick, obviously, we wanted to chat with you about Coach Pelini and losing his job yesterday. You went through an NFL coaching change, and now you got a coaching change here with Coach Pelini, and this kind of just all started when you were jumping right into the fray down there as well. I just your immediate thoughts on when you heard the news.
I was actually very surprised. You know, getting fired before the bowl game. I didn't think Nebraska would do that. I figured that if they planned on firing him, they'd let him at least play the bowl game, end out on a good note. And, you know, if they still wanted to go a different direction, they'd do it then. But to do it right after the regular season is a little suspect to me. You'll never hear me say a bad thing about Coach Bo. You know, I sent a tweet out yesterday talking about, you know, my first couple years. Nobody really gave me a chance to, you know, be in the starting role. No one really thought I was going to do much because, you know, I'm from small town because of Nebraska. You know, they didn't think I could play ball, but it was, you know, Coach Bo, Coach Carl Pelini, they gave me the chance to earn the starting job as a sophomore, and, you know, I won it, and, you know, I made something of it. So without Coach Bo and, you know, having him have that faith in me, I don't know if I'm the player I am today or where I'm at today. So you'll never hear me say a bad thing about Coach Bo, and, you know, I was surprised, you know, because I'm so loyal to the man. It's really hard for me to say, oh, well, you know, Nebraska was thinking this and that. But having 9-win seasons every single year, it's really hard to fire somebody on that alone. But I can see, you know, people want championships, conference championships to be in the national title hunt every year. And I guess they just got sick of it. So, I don't know. It's just one of those things. And like you said, I've been through 2 coaching changes. I was there. My redshirt year was with Callahan. And that's when Coach Bo came in. And then last year with Coach Kubiak getting fired in Coach O'Brien come in, which it was kind of 2 different things. You know, in college, you know you're going to be there for the, you know, the entire, your whole college career. So you're kind of, it's kind of more invested into you to who's going to be the new coach. Whereas the league, you might be a place a couple of years before your contract's up and then you go on to someone else either way. So, you know, it's kind of crazy. All I got to say is, you know, they better make a splash. If, you know, they're going to fire, you know, a great football coach, a proven football coach for really the unknown. It better be something good. You know, they better pay off because, you know, like I said, Coach Bo, he did it right. I mean, he may not have won, you know, all the big games that people want to win. But he graduated most of his players. Kids are staying out of trouble and doing the right thing. And, I mean, if Nebraska fans want to stand by their values, you know, they should be proud of what he accomplished there, as opposed to where you see a lot of other kids in other schools getting in trouble, stuff like that. So, I don't know. It's really tricky. But then again, I'm very biased on this.
Hey, well said. And first of all, congratulations on your season and how well you're playing. Everybody in Nebraska that follows professional football is really proud of you. At 6-6, you, like you said, you got a chance. If you can somehow go 10-6, I think you might make the playoffs. There's just so many teams that are 7-5 right now in front of you. But you said if you go 10-6, I think you got a shot. I agree with one thing you said, and it's kind of interesting. Anymore, when people fire their coaches, they don't let them coach the bowl games. And I've never been able to figure this out. Very seldom do they let him coach the bowl game. Yeah, you're fired and you're done, and they get an interim coach for a game and go on. So I agree with what you think. I think he's done enough for the University of Nebraska. I thought Frank Solich did too, that they both should have been able to coach their bowl game. My comment to you is, and I think it's very good, most of the players, if not everybody I've talked to, is really loyal to Bo Pelini. And stress that a little bit more about how all the things that he's done, like you talked about how everybody's graduating and people are staying out of trouble. Talk a little bit about how other players and how they feel about him.
I mean, in my experience, you know, when I was in school, there wasn't one guy that, you know, had anything bad to say about him, just because of the fact that he had your back no matter what you did. I mean, yeah, there's guys that get in trouble here and there, maybe not with the law, but maybe – you know, they forget to go to a class. They do that sort of thing. And, you know, Coach Bo, he would never come down on him hard and suspend him from the team. He'd give him chances, and he'd point him in the right direction opposed to punishing him all the time and this and that. And if anybody ever had family trouble or trouble off the field, you know, Coach Bo was the first one that was there for him and to give him guidance and help any way he could. And, you know, you don't really see that a whole lot. Not that I went to a bunch of different colleges, but from all the different, you know, teammates of mine now that have said, oh, my coach was terrible. All he cared about was his money, or he cared about wins and losses. He cared nothing about the players. Coach Bo is a player's coach, and, you know, if there was ever a definition for player's coach, you know, Coach Bo would be the first one that would come to mind. Just how he had his players back. And from my experience, I don't know what's going on, you know, the past couple of years down there, but ever since I was in college, you know, if I ever had a problem with anything, you know, he'd help me out any way he could. And, you know, like I said, if you had girl problems, school problems, you know, outside the field, family, whatever it was. You know, he helped any way he could, and, you know, that spoke a lot. And just how, like I said, how, you know, he expected a lot out of you, but at the end of the day, he cared about you. So guys really feel that, and, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, he had that kind of personality that guys would, you know, he'd go to war, you know, for him any single day, so. You know, it's just great. Just a great person. I mean, I think that's the main thing why guys, you know, so loyal.
Jared Crick, Houston Texans, former Husker, Cozad Haymaker, is always joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Played for Coach Zach Darlington. Again, most of these tweets I just get from retweeted or hearing down the line. But Zach, kind of along these lines, we heard from Jack Gangwish, a Wood River kid, got the start in place of Randy Gregory, junior defensive end. Maybe the talent level, not quite to the Crick level, but kind of follows the same pattern here. And Zach saying, you know what, Coach, after I got my concussion, still honored my scholarship and has me here at the University of Nebraska. He didn't just bail, as a lot of coaches we've heard in the past will do. And Crick, you had to go through that terrible senior season with the injury, the frustration, I guess. I don't know what terrible, that might not be the right word, but the frustrating year. And you've told me in the past how Coach helped you deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole purpose of me staying for another year was to have another year, you know, under his coaching, just to learn a whole lot more about the game of football, which I did. Even though I had the injury, I still learned a lot of X's and O's, that, you know, in that aspect. And to be another year with my guys and my best friends, and to have that taken away, you know, especially so early in the season, you know, it was really tough. I mean, I couldn't really find any sort of, you know, explanation why it had happened, or, you know, what did I do wrong to deserve any of this. But Coach Bo, you know, he came to me that, you know, after he found out that I would be done for the year, and, you know, he just told me, you know, here's the things you need to do because you're going to be a great player in the NFL. You're still going to go on. You know, your senior season may be over, but you know, essentially your life isn't over. I mean, you still got a lot to live for. You still got a lot to play for in the future. And, you know, he kind of set me straight. You know, like I said, I was down in the dumps for, you know, months. Even after he said it, you know, it really didn't come to fruition until we got closer to the draft that, you know, I'd be back to 100%. And, you know, I still had a chance to play in the NFL. And if I did the right things and stayed on track that, you know, I'd be able to, you know, get to this point and, you know, have a good career. So just having all those positive things from a guy, you know, who's been in the NFL for so long, knows what it takes, you know, to get to the league and to be successful. You know, I credit him a lot for, you know, not just helping me, you know, football wise, but also, you know, taking it, like I said, I took it very emotionally. I had no idea what I did wrong to deserve any of that, but just the, you know, the confidence he gave me to keep doing things right, to get, you know, finish out my degree and then, you know, finish out the right way at the University of Nebraska. You know, I'm very grateful for all the things he's done for me, you know, not only my senior year, but, you know, from the day that he stepped on campus, you know, he was nothing but good to me, and, you know, I appreciate everything he ever did.
Crick, let me appease those that are happy about the move here. You touched on a great coach, a proven coach. I know there are people that disagree with some of that because they weren't able to win a conference championship or get the 11 wins or a variety of other things. You were part of a couple teams that were really, really close. What has held Nebraska back, in your opinion? I know you can't probably be specific to this year, but there might be one or two things that I guess the players would know more than anybody else that could possibly be keeping Nebraska from getting over that proverbial hump. Do you have a comment or two on that?
I know when I was in school, you know, like you said, we came real close once to beating Texas and in 2009, and then, you know, the next year against Oklahoma, we were up, we had the lead, but just couldn't find a way to get it done. And, you know, I don't think that has anything to do with coaching. That's just inexperience on our part. You know, in 2009, my sophomore year, that was the first time that we had played in a game that meaningful. Like I said, my redshirt year, we went 5-6. And then the next year, it was a rebuilding year. And the year after, you know, we didn't really, and we weren't given any credit either. So, you know, going in, we weren't sure that we were good enough to hang with those guys. And, you know, we went out and played our tails off and, you know, about came out with it. But after that, you know, we had injuries my junior year. You know, Taylor Martinez, our quarterback, he had his ankle injury, his toe injury. He had a whole bunch of stuff going on that year that I think if those guys would have been healthy, you know, we would have pulled that off. But as for what's happening now, I'm not too sure. Like I said, you know, I wish I could see what was going on, but I just, you know, some guys just, when one thing goes wrong, you know, the rest of their game slips and, you know, they freak out. So I think some guys that, you know, they just got to know that the game of football is going to be ups and downs. And when a bad play happens, you got to get past it and move it on. And, you know, I think those guys are so, they're trying to be perfect almost too much, which is a good thing. I mean, that's what you want to do, but you got to realize those kids on the other side of the ball have scholarships also. They're going to make plays, this and that. And that's just how the game of football goes. So you can't be perfect every time. And when stuff doesn't go your way, you got to get past it. And I think that was the biggest thing when I watched the games. You know, one play here or there completely drained the momentum. You know, no one was able to step up and make a play. But, you know, like I said, that's on the players. That's not coaching. That's not any of that. Somebody just got to make up and step up and make a play. But, you know, and another thing, I mean, like I said, with the new coach, you know, like I said, I hope it's a splash. I mean, if you're going to fire a proven coach, Coach Bowie, you're going to have to bring in someone who's going to win. And, you know, I really would like to see a coach with Nebraska ties and someone who's going to recruit more Nebraska players. You know, it seemed like too much, you know, when I was there and probably happening now still. Not enough Nebraska guys were getting scholarships. Not enough Nebraska guys were getting looked at. And, you know, I was one of those guys who was fortunate enough to have a scholarship and to make it to the university. But there were so many guys that, you know, deserved the same thing that I got, but just never had a chance or never got a second look. But so I hope the next guy that comes in definitely looks more Nebraska players. Because I think Nebraska players, I mean, they play harder. I mean, they're going to go out there and this is their home state. So, I mean, that was my mentality. I was going to go out there and do everything I could to help my team win because this has been my team, you know, ever since I was a little kid. So, I think if they do that, they'll have more guys instead of going out, you know, the far stretches of the country and finding the so-called stars. You know, they got enough talent right at the house that, you know, they can build into great players.
Jared, I think that's a great point you made. No matter what level we're at and how, whether it's high school, college, or professional, the game could be 24-7. And there are no guarantees that it's not going to be 45-7 or 28-24. We're all competing. We're all trying to do everything correct, and we can't even put our finger on it. You don't even know, and you've been playing at all these levels, and you can't even put your finger on it. Hey, how did this game go from 24-7 to 45-7? And you're winning or you're losing. Or, hey, how did it get into overtime? I mean, there's just no guarantees, and we really don't know. But just sometimes the momentum, like you said, sometimes one player will make one play, and the momentum of a game switches, and it just snowballs. And we really can't put our finger on it as coaches, players, or anybody. We just don't know why that does happen. But it does happen, and it happens frequently.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in my opinion, that's just the game of football. I mean, you're going to have breaks go your way. You're going to have breaks not go your way. But that's why you play the game. I mean, if you were, you know, if the favorite was guaranteed to win every time, there'd be no reason to play. So, you know, it's just all about execution. You go out there, you try your best, you execute, and, you know, hopefully you execute enough to win the game. And like you said, sometimes, you know, a play here will happen that'll go your way, and you'll end up, you know, coming back from whatever, winning the game, or you'll lose the game on, you know, a situation such as that. But that's why you play the game. That's why they're out there. That's why you compete. That's why you get, you know, go through the 2-a-day. That's why you go through the practice throughout the week, and that's why you play. Like I said, if there are guarantees in college football, there'd be no reason to play.
Last second here with Jared Crick, and then we'll let him get back to relaxing a little bit before preparations for Jacksonville. The former Husker joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show Extended Edition the day after Bo Pelini's firing. Crick, is Coach O'Brien, because of all these coaching names that are coming out, I guess, unless I'm missing one, guys, I haven't heard anybody from a professional rank, as we did before, maybe on a staff, even mentioned for Nebraska. Has Coach mentioned at all what the differences were, Penn State and coaching you guys?
He never really talked about Penn State a whole lot. But the obviouses are, you know, we're all professionals here. You know, we know that football is our job. We don't have other responsibilities such as class or, you know, all that different stuff. But, you know, and he realizes the game of football is a little bit different at this level. But, you know, he was with New England for so long. So he's been, you know, back and forth and back to the NFL. And but he's never really talked too much about Penn State. You know, I'm not sure how his philosophies were there. I'm sure, you know, it was kind of the same, just a little bit different. Because, like you said, you got to worry about all the other stuff is graduating kids, keeping them out of trouble, whereas here in the NFL, if you're not doing the right thing, you're not going to be on a team for too much longer. So, yeah, he expects us to, you know, go about our business and handle ourselves as professionals, whereas college kids, you know, you got so much on your mind, and sometimes you need to be straightened out a little better. But as far as X's and O's and the philosophy of football, I think it's pretty much the same. Because as a coach, if you don't keep to your values and your core beliefs, obviously, you're not going to be able to set a foundation anywhere.
He's a good-looking cat and the former host of the Jared Crick Show, now spending his weekends down there in Houston playing with the Texans. You know, playing with a ball, Jimmy. That's all they're doing, playing with a ball. Jared Crick joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Crickster, as always, thanks, man, for making time for us, and we'll be watching Sunday.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Take care, buddy. Jared Crick.
Will do.
Joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're not done yet. We've got more to get to, and we'll do it after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Family Physical Therapy reminds you that you do have a choice. Thank you for choosing Family Physical Therapy in Kearney, Ravenna, Franklin, Lexington, and Wood River. May you and your families have a blessed Christmas.
With every good wish for your holiday happiness, thank you for being our friends and customers. A very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from everyone at Hellman, Main, Kostler & Cottle, CPA.
With the cold weather upon us, you and your home are sure to get a bit dry this season. Put that much-needed moisture back in the air with an Essex Space Saver humidifier. This humidifier has a 2-speed fan and humidifies up to 1,900 square feet. Stop by Hardware Hank to pick up the humidifier that best fits your needs and get that moisture back in the air.
You've got a lot more going for you with Hank Hardware.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS.
As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For this afternoon, it'll be partly sunny and breezy. We'll see temperatures right around 26 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low near 14. For Tuesday, it'll be sunny with a high near 48, and Tuesday night, partly cloudy. Currently, it's 18.
Doug and Daddy's show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Got started early this morning at 10. We're still going the day after Bo Pelini been fired. We want to thank Mitch Sherman, Sean Callahan, Jared Crick, Jack Gangwish, our callers so far. Let's go to the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line where Brent from Edgar is standing by to talk with us here on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. Brent, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you.
What do you got for me today?
Well, you know, I was a little surprised. I was a Bo fan. But everybody's talking Scott Frost. I mean, and to follow Jared Crick's deal, to have somebody from Nebraska ties, I really haven't heard anybody mention Turner Gill. Not that I'm saying that's the best option, but he would come in. He did really well in his first head coaching position. And I'm sorry, nobody can win at Kansas. And he would also keep the continuity because Ron Brown would stick around. And if you're a Barney Cotton supporter, okay, I got it. But he would have continuity, and I think he would also recruit from the interstate. What do you guys think of that?
Brent, I mean this with all respect. Are you drunk?
No.
I
didn't say I was a supporter of that, but I think Turner Gill would be a better option than Scott Frost.
Jimmy, you want to take this one?
Well, I mean, I think Turner Gill was maybe a good choice 7 years ago, but I think, I mean, it's probably not going to happen.
I agree.
You know, but, Kansas State, Bill Snyder came back. Maybe Tom Osborne will come back.
Yeah.
You know, but so I guess that's what I'm saying is I just don't think that's Turner Gill's stock right now. Is not what it was when he was at Buffalo. I know has the Nebraska ties, and I understand the comparison with Turner Gill and Scott Frost. If you're going to compare Scott Frost, then you better bring Turner Gill's name up. So, you know, I guess that's where I understand your when you made your that
that's
comment.
All I was getting yeah. at. That's all I was getting at. So all these Scott Frost people would just be quiet.
Well, here's what I would say about Turner Gill. If the whole coaching staff's gone, the next time maybe you hear Turner Gill's name is that he hired Ron Brown to be part of his staff because they're and maybe somebody else.
Yeah,
because
good point.
There's some work there. Brent, I appreciate the call. Thanks for
buzzing.
You bet. Yeah, you put it better than I could have because I would have had to really get after Brent there a little bit.
I'm glad I took care of it. I see what he's saying
about the Scott Frost.
Yeah, he's talking about quarterback to quarterback. And, you know, but.
Here's one for you, Jimmy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is another one of those confirmed. Jimmy Johnson, head coach, Mike Ditka, defensive coordinator, Joe Montana, offensive coordinator, should be announced soon.
Wouldn't that be something if Mike Ditka came in? Because we were upset with the sideline demeanor. You know, bring in Mike Ditka and have him. That's the first time something doesn't go real good on the sideline there.
Chris wants us to hang up on Brent.
Is that what he said? Hey, Brent, no. Brent, we want people to make phone calls and throw that out. He's not the first person that thought Turner Gill was a – and, hey, Turner Gill.
7 years ago.
And you know what? He was all – good man. Turner Gill, good man, and did a great job at Buffalo. And I agree with one thing. Probably didn't get a fair shake at Kansas. No, you know what I mean? Did not get a fair shake there.
What a mess they had at Kansas.
Yeah, and did not give him a fair shot.
Yeah. Bad. By the way, Crick's tweet, in case you missed it, say what you want, say what you may, that man gave a kid from Cozad America a chance to play ball when nobody else believed in him, and for that, I'm always grateful. That was from the Crickster. Let's go back to our Twitter. This comes from Mark. Any comments on Joe Moglia? Is his name floating around at all? Now, Joe Moglia was the, I consider, the right-hand man when Bo Pelini came in and was the guy that wanted to be a coach in... Google him real quick again. I forget the company that he was the millionaire owner founder of, and he's now at Coastal Carolina. The first thing that comes to mind for me about Moglia is that he would never. That would seem to me like a backstab to Pelini to come into the job that Pelini brought him into. Bo brought in Joe. Why would Joe and the only validity to this argument, this whole why would he come and why the hell would you hire a coach from Coastal Carolina? The thing with Joe is from TD Ameritrade. Okay, he was the CEO at TD Ameritrade. I was thinking it was somebody else. My bad. Is that Joe, like Darren Erstad, wouldn't require a big salary because he's already got a lot of money, and then that way you could use the money to bring in the high profile assistant coaches. And so that's the validity that I could understand that. And Joe, being the CEO of TD Ameritrade, would be able to know how to handle the conglomerate that is known as Nebraska football. I get all those arguments. I just think that would – you would really – that's not a splash hire, but that would open eyes across the United States because they wouldn't understand, I think, and you would get a lot of backlash, I believe. This comes from Dave. I don't know that this has any relevance, but Dave says, all those people wanting Frost, they forget his involvement in the Lawrence Phillips situation. Just saying. We'll get to all of your comments and tweets and emails. We continue to do it. We've got more on the Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Plus, I want to mention this really quick in Pigskin Pick'em. We had just the one show last week. It finished up our Husker lunches. We probably should have had another one this week if we didn't know what was going to happen, but... we had everything, including our Pigskin Pick'em and Jimmy's selections. Jimmy, how'd you do in your selections?
Went 5-2.
And because Randy Gregory didn't play, you threw out the unders on that Iowa game, which looked golden at halftime.
Yeah, it did.
At halftime. And in Pigskin Pick'em, we're sorry, Mark, you went 6-4, which was way better than Ryan 2 weeks ago that beat us by getting only 4. But Jimmy and Randy both went 7-3. And so the winner, we've got another $10. We'll have $20 in Cunningham's cash for our final Pigskin Pick'em because it's the final week of college football season. We will do it on Friday's show. Jimmy, thanks for going 7-3. And because I would bring it up if it was the other way around, tying for the worst week in the history of the Doug and Daddy Show, if Alabama had not come back and beat Auburn, I would have went over. I went 1-9. Now, may I say there was a lot of close games.
There were quite a few close games.
This has been a bad Pigskin Pick'em year for old duty. We're going to take a break. Back with more after this.
It's 3rd down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a free month of service.
Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies with the nation's largest fixed wireless network, Prairie iNet Internet Delivers. Call and get a free month of internet just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call now. Call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Lift the hearts of others and let people know you care this holiday season. Spread joy with the help from Copycat Printing. Send greetings with personalized holiday cards, calendars, or festive stationery. At Copycat Printing, it's easy. Simply go to our website, carneycopycat.com, and click on Shop to browse through lots of new choices, both business and personal. Or make an impression and have your holiday cards custom made by our talented designers. Make the season yours with Copycat Printing in Kearney. Like us on Facebook for additional savings.
Goodwill is dedicated to helping people with disabilities or barriers achieve their goals and improve their quality of life.
Your gift to Goodwill has a great impact.
Through the work of Goodwill, people have the opportunity to achieve their greatest potential.
Goodwill helps me achieve my goals and my dreams.
People receiving services get the support they need to live, work, learn, and participate fully in the community.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Espresso and breakfast pizza?
Yep.
Espresso and salad bar?
Yep.
Espresso and wings?
Sure.
Genius. Godfather's Pizza and Mountain Mud Espresso.
Nothing goes better with our morning pick-me-up and handmade breakfast pizza. A little later in the day, monkey bread, wings, and all the best ingredients that make any Godfather's Pizza you're craving. Takeout and delivery available. Download our Facebook app and never miss an offer or update from us. Godfather's Pizza on North Burlington across from the Museum in Hastings. Call 461-0386. And Mountain Mud Espresso at 1410 West J Street. Call 461-3714. A pizza you can't refuse. And espresso too.
Kelly Tucker has worked at Anderson Brothers for over 30 years. He encouraged his kids to check out college and something else.
Come see us. We'll train you. That's what we've been good at doing. I've always said that Anderson Brothers is more like a college. And that's why I call it Anderson Brothers College, because we do train a lot of people. And they can take that anywhere they go. And there's good wages. There really are. You got to work for it, but there's good wages.
Check out the career options at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. In the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway says take care, take advantage of all of the great deals that are winding down and getting going for the holiday season. Right now, it's Cadillac's best event. Current non-GM lessees can receive $1,000 towards the lease of a purchase of a 2014 Cadillac ATS, CTS, ELR, or XTS. See the store for details or thinkmidway.com to see a full lineup of their Cadillacs. If you like the Buick, take advantage of their 0% APR for 5 years for qualified buyers on the 2014 Buick lineup. See all Buicks and everything that is on the lot at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you for another couple of minutes here. We still have more coming in. Trend says The Trestle people need to get a grip. He has cheated to win not once but twice, and now he's paying for it. Why would we go there? Chris says, what about Will Muschamp? Could his name be brought into the mix? Probably the same Mark Richt. You know, somebody said, why would you bring in Richt? We beat him, and they got more talent, supposedly, Georgia and Florida. No, God, no. In fact, I would say this. Anybody that ever had anything to do with Texas? I mean, just, you know, you're trying to stay away from things. There's so many choices out there. I mean, as minor as that might be in the day and age right now, don't need it. Surprised Mac Brown's name hasn't been brought up.
You know, the last time Nebraska played a football game and lost, a lot of people will go to that coach. Whoever beat Nebraska last, you know, whoever beat the Huskers last, then that guy's got to be on the list. And that guy would be Jerry Kill, correct?
His name's been brought up.
Yeah, you know, but that's just very normal that whoever beats your team last, that's who you're going to get for your coach.
This is, you know, what we've been talking about. The firing of Nebraska coach Bo Pelini created an uncertain future for Faux Pelini. Asked whether the popular parody Twitter account would live on, the man behind it tweeted to the Associated Press today that the short, honest answer right now is, quote, not sure. Faux Pelini has amassed over 161,000 followers since being created in December 2010. The account spoofs and exaggerates the real Pelini's no-nonsense personality and is famous for its profile picture of a sweater-wearing Pelini holding a cat. Of course, the coach walked out of the tunnel for the spring game this year hoisting a cat. What happened? What happened? His attitude was so great, everybody loving, then you didn't win the championship. Fire him. God, that's kind of still the way I feel, Jimmy. You know, when it gets down to the brass tacks, I guess that's kind of the way I feel. 8-1 a month ago, and, you know, the man got blown out. The team got blown out by Wisconsin, so you fired him.
Doug, you made a good comment, and I can't remember what exactly how you said, but you did say there is so much upsides to what could happen with this season, but there's also a lot of downsides that could happen. I mean, and you made that comment, and I think at the time we were 7-1. At the time you made the comment, you said, hey, you know, there are so much upsides that could happen with this football team. I mean, we could be playing, you know, in the Big Ten championship game, and we're kind of moving up from 15th to 14th to 12th or whatever number we finally got up to, you know, and, hey, win a couple more games, and we could be in the top 8 in the nation. And, hey, it just kind of went the other way. And, hey, you beat Iowa, and I think we're probably around 24 now. I don't even know, but I'm just throwing that number out.
The coaches.
Oh, is that we are, 23? Okay.
I'm serious. It came out yesterday.
Okay.
We were broadcasting from Lincoln. We're finishing up. It's after the press conference. I'm talking with Chris Schmidt live here on ESPN yesterday after the press conference. And here it comes. Nebraska back in the poll. Just go. Wow.
Yeah.
Steel toe boot me. That's what you did right there. As far as the coaches, you can bet on everything, especially offshore. Bovada has Jim Tressel as the favorite. As the favorite, better than even money, if you bet it, is minus 140 for those of you that know what that means. Scott Frost, second. Joe Moglia, Coastal Carolina, third. Craig Bohl, God, are you kidding me? Wyoming, he's proven that he can coach. Again, why would you bring back bad things? Why would you do that? Then the Michigan State defensive coordinator in Narduzzi. I don't see that. He's probably looking elsewhere. Ohio State's offensive coordinator, because everybody wants them. Jerry Kill, Minnesota. Mark Richt, Georgia. Jim McElwain, Colorado State. The name Ed Orgeron has been out there. Then it's Gary Patterson, TCU. Fuente from Memphis. The Alabama defensive coordinator, Utah State head coach, and even a Brett Bielema. Even a Brett Bielema reference. That ain't happening. He wanted to coach in the SEC. He would have never left Wisconsin.
You know, somebody did.
And Eichhorst has ties to Wisconsin, so he probably hates Bielema too.
You know, Eichhorst said something in his, you know, he said, hey, it was Saturday night. Here's one of the things, I guess. I thought Eichhorst did a fairly decent job with the, you know, the way he said things. But one of the things that was said, did you catch this yesterday when he said, well, I met with Bo for 20 minutes and we both agreed. And somebody goes, Bo agreed to that? I thought that was a good question. Yeah. Bo?
After I told him he was fired, he agreed that maybe it'd be a good
idea. Yeah, this is a good idea, I think. Hey, you know, it was a good conversation. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to have been in the room. It'd have been something to see that, huh?
From Gambling Junkie, who was really depressed that Alabama came back and covered, and then I pointed out, let me read this first. This is from Gambling Junkie. He says, a lot of Vegas has taken down that prop bet about Nebraska's coaches. Does that mean a decision is coming soon? I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it that it happens here in the next couple of days. Give the press a moment to get all this good stuff out, though, and then maybe Thursday you can announce your new head coach or next Saturday, whatever. Jimmy, you talk about coaching situations. Gus Malzahn, halftime, they get the ball down to, what, the four-yard line on a nice play right before halftime. There's 28 seconds on the clock. You got two timeouts, and you don't use it, and you run it. You get one play off. There's 4 seconds left. And you have to kick a field goal instead of getting about three cracks to get it into the end zone. And so instead of the game being 11 points at the end, it's 7 points where maybe it's played out a little bit differently down the stretch and you got more. I mean, you talk about, you want to bang on coaches. Whoever screwed that up needs a baseball bat to the head. I mean, that junior high coach knows that you call timeout there. How do you get one playoff from your 4 yard line with 28 seconds and two timeouts? If there's confusion, time out. Spike the ball, moron.
Yeah, if you really think about this, who outcoached two in the Iowa-Nebraska game? I mean, there were some calls made there. Iowa's got a 10-0 lead.
Iowa fans booing their own quarterback while the play's going on. Serious.
But Iowa has the ball, up 10-0, and they just intercepted a pass. And there's only about 20 seconds to go, and Iowa hasn't moved the ball real well. Because their only touchdown was on the pass interception. That'd be a good time to sit on the ball up 10-0. Instead, they tried to move it. And guess what? We get the ball back, and the next thing you know, it's 10-7. Big play in that game.
John says, do you think Bo had the same problem that Callahan had with not replacing his staff? Also, did we start having problems when Bo gave up the defense to Papuchas? I just say that wherever the problem was, Bo went to try and fix it. And then he tried to come back to the defense. It was first the defense, then the offense, then back and forth. As far as Sean Eichhorst was asked yesterday if Bo was asked to replace his staff and wouldn't. And he said no. And a lot of the insiders, including some of the folks we had on the show, we kind of all believe that that was the case. I don't ever think it came to that decision. I don't think it came to Sean saying, Bo, we need to shuffle it up because Coach Pelini has definitely shaken up his coaching staff over the last 7 years. So I don't think that had anything to do with it, Jimmy.
Yeah, everybody I've talked to, and I haven't talked as much. There's a lot of other people who have talked to more people. But Bo Pelini was actually in charge of the defense. Would you say that's true? I mean, he's the head coach. He had another guy helping him with the defense.
He snarled a lot at Papuchas.
Yeah, but let's be honest. If there was really something to be done, and he spent more time on the defensive side of the ball critiquing it and getting things going. You know, somebody made a comment earlier, too, about that Bo hired Carl and he's playing his nephew. I think what Bo tried to hire people that were going to help him and were loyal to Bo Pelini. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. I think that's what the goal was there. And him and Carl, when they coached, I mean, it wasn't perfect. I mean, but, hey, the defense probably played just about as well as any time when Carl and Bo were in charge of it. But, again, somebody made a comment, too, about recruiting. Hey, the players make your defense. You get good players, and you know what?
Well, yeah. There's, as I've said for years, there are so many things, including bounce of the ball and luck, that you need. We've went this entire 2.5 hours on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we are so grateful for you being a part of the show. Still have a couple of minutes left. We haven't even played any of the comments from Eichhorst yesterday. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
Last night, after consulting with Chancellor Perlman, I made the decision that our university needs new leadership in our football program, and I informed Coach Pelini of my decision this morning. Careful consideration and contemplation went into my decision process, and I'm well aware of the short-term impact on our student-athletes. But in the end, this is what's best for the university. Certainly the results of our games this season and in previous seasons played a significant role in my decision. But whenever I evaluate a head coach, I consider a number of factors both on and off the field beyond the outcomes of games. Let me say this. The people of Nebraska deserve not only high standards and expectations, but they deserve seeing our people and our teams reach them.
besides the vein sticking out in the neck, I've never really heard anybody attack Pelini on anything else, as far as a man. All right.
There's a lot of things that I look at outside of wins and losses, academics, leadership, the way in which we're teaching and our student athletes are improving. And during my review this past year, and at the beginning of the year when I set expectations and I set standards, I had that in mind.
I, of course, said Nebraska wasn't winning the big games.
I didn't see enough improvement in areas that were important for us to move forward to play championship caliber football. We just, for whatever reason, weren't good enough in the games that mattered against championship quality caliber opponents. And I didn't see that changing.
And now it's Barney Cotton time. He was the associate head coach, so he's the interim head coach. And you just kind of assume it'll be a house cleaning. So these guys are under contract. So basically they've got to stay there. And that's why it's just really ugly water at this time of the year.
Barney Cotton is a Husker through and through and serves as our associate head coach. Barney and I spoke this morning, and he has agreed to serve as our interim head football coach and will work with our other assistant coach and staff members to prepare our wonderful team for a bowl game.
Cotton said in a press release yesterday, his statement said, quote, "I feel it is my duty to be there for our staff and to show love and support for our players. I accepted this responsibility because of my loyalty to Bo, this staff, and our players. I appreciate the confidence that Sean has shown in me during this tough circumstance. I will encourage our players to finish their classwork to the best of their abilities, to continue to be great citizens, and to give every last ounce of effort in their preparations for the upcoming bowl game. More than anything else, I will encourage them to be good teammates to each other." And that comes from Barney Cotton. It's also been announced this morning that Nate Gary, the sophomore, the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, DeMornay Personnel, the co-special teams Player of the Week in the league.
You know what? What a punt return, Doug. You know, what a punt return. Two of them. Bob broke the other one. You know what I mean? The other one he broke. And, you know, hey, we got a couple breaks too once. You talk about breaks. There was a couple plays. You know, Doug, the one time the quarterback went back to pass, we didn't know for sure if his arm was forward or not. Mm-hmm. I thought the officials did a great job. It's real easy for one of the eight officials to blow their whistle on that play where the ball was actually, I mean, it appears to be forward because he got hit. So one of those eight guys, any one of the eight, blow the whistle. We got an incomplete pass because you can't reward Nebraska with the football. But because they held off on their whistles, Nebraska got the ball. They replayed it, and guess what? It was a fumble, and it was the correct call. Good job by the officials. The officials did an excellent job in that game. They had a lot of close calls, and they went to replay, and a lot of those replays went Nebraska's way.
Glad you've been with us. We're going to take one final break, clean everything up, and hit on a couple other sports stories that are not Nebraska football related when we come back.
Santa wears Husker red, and so can you, along with a lot of other colors from TM Sporting Goods in the downtown Kearney Center. Santa and you might also consider Under Armour for crisp outdoor jaunts. If you have a player on your Christmas list, see Steve and Tino for expert advice on equipment and accessories for every sport and the know-how to help you buy right. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design, and like them on Facebook for daily holiday specials. Santa has gifts for every boy and girl. But if you want a bar and grill gift for anyone on your Christmas list, give Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill gift certificate. Always sure to bring a ho-ho-ho and a big old thank you.
And that's when I kissed him.
Another sure thing is the holiday catering from Bullseye's. Give them a call to reserve and let Bullseye set up a grand holiday bill of fare. Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill. For every bar and grill, or rather every boy and girl on your list. Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill. Across from the water park on West 2nd in Hastings.
You work hard and the clothes you wear work just as hard. This is Don Dreyer, and for clothes that put in a hard day's work, come to Willis Shoe & Boot, where you'll find Wolverine and Walls workwear. At Willis Shoe & Boot, you'll find traditional insulated coveralls and coats, hooded jackets, vests, denim and fleece-lined work shirts, hooded sweatshirts, and thermal work shirts. For clothes that work as hard as you do, come to Willis Shoe & Boot, 379 North Walnut, Grand Island.
When it comes to footwear, there's one good name to know. Come get the best, come make the stop at Willis Shoe & Boot. Boot Shop!
Here at Kearney Liquor, we're with
a bottleologist.
Which means?
Well, I can tell you where a bottle comes from and what it contains by its sound.
Let's test that.
Rum from Romania.
This?
Bourbon from Boise.
Now?
That's a Canadian whiskey from Kansas.
0 for 3, buddy.
The real experts work at Kearney Liquor. Ask them for advice on their wide selection of beer, wine, and spirits. Kearney Liquor on 11th Street and 2nd Avenue South, Kearney.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
You know, at Jersey's, they offer lunch under $6 every day. And there's something going on every night of the week.
Tonight,
45-cent wings, unlimited wings.
45 cents each?
Yeah, only at Jersey's. And there's free Wi-Fi.
Plus, Keno and pickle cards.
Something for everyone.
Jersey's Sports Bar.
Your true
neighborhood sports bar.
Where the grill
and the game
are always on.
Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
Here we go!
Dan says, how about Willie Fritz, Georgia Southern? Must be Dan's cousin. What do you think about that? See, all these rumors keep coming in. This Jimmy gets one that says there's a press conference tomorrow. I know a guy. What is this, Ocean's 11? I know a guy who knows a guy. And in 48, 72 hours, I'll have the information for you. I guess if they hire Trestle in the next couple of days, at least it's over, right? A couple of other sports notes to bring to you. We've got Monday Night Football tonight, Dolphins-Jets. One of those that doesn't seem like it's going to be anything, so look out. Dolphins probably puke this one. Hopefully not. 7:30 the kickoff tonight. Nebraska volleyball team will host first and second round matches in the NCAA tournament at the Devaney Center for the 11th straight year they're hosting. It will be Utah and Kansas State. They sure seem to get paired up with Kansas State a lot. That's at 4:30. Then Nebraska will play Hofstra at 7. The winners will meet Saturday at 7. Whoever survives that pool of four will head to Seattle for the regionals, where Washington would be waiting on the other side, potentially in an Elite Eight matchup. I had to chuckle. There's a regional in Ames, and there's a regional in Minneapolis, but Nebraska would be going out to Washington. But Nebraska, on their half of the bracket, not just that regional, their entire 32-team half, they're the only Big Ten team on that side. And if they made the national semifinals, which, whatever, but if they did, Texas is the number two seed. So, you know, you'd be looking for some fun there. Nebraska has dropped their last two to Illinois and Penn State, who are among the top 10 national seeds for the tournament. The Husker men, as we said, are at Florida State tonight, 6 o'clock on the Breeze, 94.5, pregame at 5. It's also on ESPN2 as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. The Nebraska women will host Duke in the women's portion of that Wednesday. They beat previously unbeaten Northern Colorado yesterday, 63-56. The UNK women now have won 3 in a row, and they crushed Oklahoma Panhandle State, and they're scoring points over 90 every game here. 92-61, a double-double for Kelsey Fitzgerald, 20 points, 12 rebounds, and Amara Williams poured in 25 points. They begin league play hosting Missouri Southern State, a women's and men's doubleheader Thursday. The Loper men will host Doan tonight, who got kind of upset yesterday in a game out at North Platte. Hastings College women, they split their games over the weekend. They joined the men at Briarcliff Saturday. The Hastings men went 2-0. The Hastings College women's soccer team kicks it off at 1:30 this afternoon in the second round of the NAIA National Tournament in Orange Beach, Alabama, playing number one, Emory Riddle, Florida. Hey, it all gets easier from there. Tri-City Storm dropped their two games over the holidays. One game this week, it is at Dubuque. The final high school football rankings came out, Jimmy. In the Omaha World Herald, Grand Island was placed 6th. Kearney was 10th in Class B. McCook was 4th. York 10th in C1. It was Kearney Catholic 4th. Cozad 6th. Grand Island Central Catholic 7th in C2. St. Cecilia was 4th. Sutton 6th. In Class D1, Blue Hill 2nd, Elm Creek 3rd, Bruning Davenport, Shickley 4th, Fullerton 8th. In D2, Exeter Milligan, the state champ, number 1, Kennesaw 5th, Giltner 7th, and in 6-man, Silver Lake 4th, and Wilcox Hildreth was placed fifth. Anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap it up?
No, but I've been to Panhandle State, Oklahoma, and refereed there one time, Doug, and it's a place that you only want to go once. You know, you only want to go one time there.
All right.
How's that?
Well, no fun talking NFL, how the Cowboys stunk on Thanksgiving, but not near as bad as the Raiders did yesterday against the Rams. Denver still looks pretty good. Denver, Kansas City, always a battle between those two. Folks, we'll keep our nose to the grindstone, getting ready for the high school sports season that unbelievably begins on Thursday with basketball, wrestling, and everything else that goes on during the winter. Tomorrow, Dirk Chatelain of the Omaha World Herald will be joining us. We'll also dive into a little bit of basketball. I know there'll be a lot more football talk, and if something happens quickly, it will change what we're doing on the program. We do want to thank Jared Crick, Jack Gangwish, Sean Callahan, Mitch Sherman, among our guests on the show today. All the emails, tweets, callers, always appreciated. That is one of the reasons this is such a passionate state, especially around football time. And Jimmy?
Yeah, I appreciate all the callers and everybody that called in and took the time to get on the air, you know, and with their, you know, because anytime you do that, somebody can always ridicule what you say. But I appreciate what those guys did and called in. Good show, Doug.
We may not always be right, but we think we are. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a good one.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.